Welcome to worship this morning. We're glad that you're here. Please don't forget to register your attendance in the binders at the ends of the pews. And if you would, please stand and greet one another and welcome each other to worship. If you would please make your way back to your pews, and we will prepare for worship this morning with our call to worship. Please stand and join us as we sing our opening hymn.
Thank you. Amen. As we focus on stone or rock this morning, as we did that in our opening hymn, On Christ the Solid Rock, so now we share together in the Apostles' Creed, which is bedrock beliefs of our church. So together, as the people of God, let us say what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated.
What a beautiful tone to set the invitation to prayer for our meditation on a beautiful Savior. Thank you, Handbell Choir. Now that the tone has been set to invite us to prayer, let us go together before our Heavenly Father at His throne of mercy to pray for each other and our world and to give thanks for all that God continues to do for us. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly and most graceful Father, we come this morning to take a moment to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for shining your grace and your mercy on us. And whatever hour we are dealing with, we thank you that you are a faithful God, an unchanging God, and an all-loving God. We come to your throne of mercy this morning as sinners saved by your grace. Humble our hearts to bask in the love you have for each and every one of us. Cover us in your presence, calm our weeping, restore our joy, and sit us upon the solid rock of your foundation. As we come to your throne, we take a moment to pray for the person sitting next to us. We take a moment to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We may not know what the need is. We may not know what the prayer request is, but you, Almighty God, do know. So we take this moment to ask that you come, Almighty Father, to cover our neighbor, to cover our families, our friends, and our loved ones, our nation, and our communities. And may we give you all the glory, be it unto your name, as we come together to pray the prayer that you have so faithfully taught us to pray with boldness, the Lord's Prayer, by praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Thank you. Amen. Let us welcome Miss Kelly Ford for our children's moment.
Good morning, everyone. Come on down, guys. Come on. Oh, now that's a slow walk there, buddy. All right. Good. Well, it's spring break. I am surprised there's seven people. You guys are awesome. All right. I have a question, but I want you to raise your hand to answer. How many of you have a best friend? I hear a lot of people say that someone is their BFF. And do you know what BFF means? It means best friend forever, right? The idea of best friends has been around for a very, very long time. Now, even though we have our best friends, could you imagine a better best friend than Jesus? No. Do you think Jesus had any friends that he would have considered his BFF? No, you don't think so? Well, I want to tell you a quick story about Jesus and one of his friends. And he did something very special for this friend. And his name is Lazarus. Now, Jesus had received word from Mary and Martha, those were Lazarus' sisters, that their brother was very ill. And when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. This has happened so that God will receive all the glory. And although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he did not immediately go to them. He waited a few more days. Finally, he told his disciples that he was going to go to the home of his friends. And he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. And when Jesus arrived, Martha ran to Jesus and told him that Lazarus had died 4 days ago. But Jesus knew that Lazarus would rise again. So Mary and Martha took Jesus and showed him where Lazarus was buried. And when they arrived at the tomb, Jesus told them to roll the stone away and that covered the entrance. And he prayed to his father and called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And do you know what happened? Even though he had been in there for 4 days, Lazarus walked out of the tomb. He wasn't dead and he wasn't even sick. So how would you like to have a friend like that? But we do, don't we? Because Jesus is a friend to all of us, and he wants to be our very best friend. Now let's pray before we go to Children's Church. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Jesus is our best friend forever. We praise him, we love him, and we thank him for dying on the cross so that we might have everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our children. As we prepare for our offertory moment and our prayer, we want to remind you that if you would like to give to the tornado relief efforts, you're able to write your check and include it in the offering and making it out to the tornado relief efforts, and we'll be sure that it gets to the proper place. As we go before God this morning for our offertory and praying over our offertory, let us now go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come unto you this morning praying that as we prepare to give our offering, that we also prepare to give our hearts and our minds and our souls to be able to do the work that you've called us to do with the offering that we are giving. We ask that you will bless our offering, that it will be pleasing unto you, and that it will do the kingdom work that you have called us to do. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we all say, Amen.
Thank you.
invite us to remain standing as we turn to the scripture today, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Jesus is the cornerstone. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Wow, the music has been wonderful today. Amen. It's been great to be here to worship the Lord and to experience the presence of God and the wonder of this day and beautiful music and the Word of God for us today. We've been in a series on promised treasures, and today we're talking about rock or stone. We talked about dust and water and bread and salt, and now we are talking about stone or rock. When I was on an Emmaus walk, we learned a song. It was kind of a modern song, a chorus. Jesus is a rock and he rolls my blues away. How many of y'all know that song? We're all going to stand and sing this song today. No. That nobody knows. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I got your attention now, I guess. So what is a cornerstone? For those of you who may not know, and of course, certainly growing up, I heard about a cornerstone, and I was around building some, but a cornerstone, what is that? Well, you see a picture of that on the screen. Since ancient times, builders used cornerstones in construction projects. A cornerstone was the principal stone, usually placed at the corner of the building. Some of the buildings now may have the dates on them recorded as part of the cornerstone of that building. It was to guide the workers from that cornerstone and how it would be laid out for the remainder of the building. The cornerstone was usually the largest and most solid, most carefully constructed stone in the building. I remember on a trip to the Holy Land, we went under the old temple or the old wall structure there. And we saw these mammoth-sized stones that were at the foundation of that building. It was quite impressive to see those. And it was easy to see how the disciples, when they looked at the temple, saw those stones. And they were so impressed with the architecture and how these huge stones were put in place. You see part of that in the on the picture there as well. And Jesus said, you marvel at these stones, but not one of them is going to be left on the other, as he predicted the destruction of that beautiful temple, which happened in AD 70. More about that in a moment. But the point here is the massive stones that were laid at the foundation of the temple. The Old Testament gives rise in the prophecy of the cornerstone. Isaiah, the prophet, gives many references to the Messiah. In several places, the Messiah is referenced as the cornerstone. And so this is Isaiah 28, 16, and 17. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. In context of this, God was speaking to the people of Israel, and he was promising them a solid foundation for their lives if they trusted. Of course, we know that the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy came in the person of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, and his promise to give his Son as the foundation for our lives, and indeed for the church. God also emphasized here that Jesus would bring about justice and righteousness. That means that if we follow Christ, the layout of our lives will be straightened out just as the cornerstone would be significant in laying out the structure of the Holy Temple. The Bible describes Jesus as the cornerstone that his church will be built upon. He is the foundation. And once the cornerstone is set in place, it is the basis for all the other stones. And you and I are those living stones. But we are measured, we are put in place by the cornerstone, who is Christ, where everything must align around him. As the cornerstone of the building, Jesus is our standard of measurement and our alignment. How does that happen? I was reminded a few years ago, the WWJD, where we had the bracelets that were so popular a few years ago, is a reminder of the decisions that we make asking the foundational question, what would Christ do? Of course, it's hard to imagine that that statement came out of a text in his steps by Charles Sheldon, all the way back in 1896. But someone has gone even further to add, it's not just what would Jesus do, but WDJD, what did Jesus do? If you're looking for a place to begin biblical and scriptural readings, I think the Gospels would be a great place to start because they inform us of the life and teachings of Jesus, the cornerstone upon which we build our lives, our marriages, and our family. In this passage of Ephesians, Paul says that Christ is the chief cornerstone and the foundation of all of the membership within the church of Christ. He alone joins the building together, the pieces together, to become a holy temple. He also emphasizes that people who believe in Christ are now a part of the citizenship that Christ has brought about as he, the cornerstone, leads. It's a very powerful statement by Paul to the Ephesians, and it applies to you and me today as modern-day disciples. And the proper layout of this would be that Christ is the foundation, then the apostles and prophets, and down through church history, even to where we are in 2023, you and I are the living stones that are placed upon that foundation. But the starting point and the ending point is always Christ Jesus. To be part of the Christian faith means putting our entire lives on Christ and have him as our cornerstone. In similar passage in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6, Christ is referred to as the cornerstone chosen by God to secure a promise that those who trust in God, those who trust in Christ, will never be put to shame. Here's what he says in 1 Peter. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. If we are in Christ, if our lives are built upon Christ, we will never be ultimately defeated. We will never be ultimately empty or meaningless or hopeless. But on the other side of this, and very unfortunately, not everyone aligns with the cornerstone. Some accept Christ, others rejected him. And others, scripture reminds us, Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. That's Mark 12:10, coming out of Psalm 118. One example of this is found in even in the extended Christmas story at Epiphany, the news of the Messiah's arrival to the Magi who came to give their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. You remember that story. But at the same time, King Herod heard that news. And his response was not presenting gifts to Jesus, but he wanted to kill him. From the very beginning, Jesus was a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Jesus, like a literal cornerstone, as he is followed, Our lives are aligned with Him, but if He is the cornerstone is not followed, the construction will ultimately come to ruin. If we follow Christ, the construction will always end ultimately in hope and promise. Without Him as the cornerstone, the construction will always end in ruin. But for those who are following Christ, there is good news. Like Eliot in his comment on this, he says, "Now you do trust in Him, therefore to you belongs the promise, and the honor bestowed by God on Him reflects on you. You, like Him, are made parts of the divine, imperishable architecture." If you look at the first part of this scripture, you note that it's talking about the larger temple of God. The whole worldwide church is encompassed here. The Holy Catholic Church, as we say in our creed, it suggests the inclusion of all people in Christ, all humanity in Christ, as a part of this holy temple. And the reality is that cornerstones are not laid to be left unbuilt upon, right? The stone is meant to be built upon. And you and I, as followers of Christ, are a part of the completion, the living stones that we are, upon this holy structure. Peter, it's interesting that someone who denied Jesus three times would say the things that he did and could say the things that he did. What a difference Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit made in his life. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Acts after Pentecost where Peter and John heal a man who's been crippled from birth. Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Christ. Rise up and walk." And they helped him up on his feet, and the man got up and walked and was jumping and praising God. That got the attention of all the people surrounding that area where that man was, and especially the Jewish leaders who were always critical of what was going on. And they questioned Peter and John. And they asked, "By what authority have you healed this man?" And Peter called out the leaders to their face, and he said, "You builders." They, like the kings of Babylon, had built on their own foundation. Then Peter, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but who God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus," and here's what he says next in verse 11, this is Acts 4, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Notice a couple of things here. The scripture originally said, "The stone the builders rejected." Here Peter is personalizing this and he's saying, "The stone you builders rejected." Of course, that would ultimately end up with Jesus being rejected and we know hung on a cross. It's amazing how God takes the rejection of Christ and makes that the way of salvation. The rock of our salvation, the very cornerstone of the church. I would also include here the passage in Matthew 16, going back to Peter again, who made that marvelous confession when Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah." And here's how Jesus responded to him. He said, "I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it or will not overcome it. From our Protestant faith, we believe the confession of Peter of Jesus as Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is the rock, is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. Yet we know, even as those leaders rejected Christ. How do people reject God's chosen cornerstone? Simply by building different from God's design. Just as the people building the Tower of Babel rebelled against God, pursued their own projects, those who reject Christ disregard God's plan in favor of their own. It is promised here, judgment is actually promised here on all of those who reject the cornerstone. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed, Matthew 21:44. And speaking of building on the rock, I recall Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he gave the parable of the wise and the foolish builder. And the wise man built his house on the rock. And the foolish man built his house on the sand. And the foundational truth coming at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is that the rock is hearing and doing the words of Jesus. And amen back there, I like that. Remember, both the wise and the foolish builders heard Jesus' words. They heard them. But only the wise builder actually put them into practice. As a young boy in high school, I participated in a home that was being torn down in the neighborhood, and our family was fortunate enough to get all the lumber out of that house. We decided we were going to build a garage with the secondhand lumber from that house, and none of us were engineers, building engineers, I can tell you that, but we knew how to level, and we knew how to cut, and we knew how to nail. And so we decided we were going to make an open garage to put some of our resources in our old truck. And so after about 3 days, we constructed this monstrosity of a garage. And about a month later, there came a very stormy day, not quite like yesterday's storms. So we pray for the people who have been so devastated by the storms yesterday. Very stormy day came through our neighborhood with gusts of wind. And I remember coming home on the school bus. And I looked out where our garage used to be. And parts of that garage were strewn all over the field. And as I looked and surveyed that damage, some of the students on the bus were laughing. As you can imagine, some of them were stunned kind of silently. And quite honestly, I was just embarrassed. Just embarrassed. I learned several great lessons from that. One of those was that building was not anchored. It wasn't anchored properly. And when the winds came, it blew it to pieces. I'm thankful that nobody was injured. The scripture and what it's talking about today carries a whole lot greater significance. That was not a very costly loss because it was secondhand lumber and nobody was hurt. But what Jesus is talking about here is something much more significant and something much more costly. It's the foundation of our lives. The foundation of our marriages. Foundation of our families. Are we truly building our lives on the cornerstone? Or are we following what someone else might be saying, or the advice of friends, or what may be popular? I would simply invite all of us to take a real look inside of ourselves and ask today, even if we're professing Christ, is He really the cornerstone? Is He really the foundation of our lives? Or are we being led by our career, our possession, whatever it might be? He alone is the rock. He alone is the cornerstone. Everything else is sinking sand. May we pray. Lord, we pray Your Holy Spirit may impart to us this great truth today, this foundational truth today. We pray as we assess our own lives, Lord, if there is anything else that we are making the foundation, if there's anything else that really captivates our attention and our living more than You, we pray Your Holy Spirit would help us today to make sure that we have Christ as the foundation, the cornerstone. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please stand.
From this place, we are so thankful for the word and the message that God has given. And just a few announcements we want you to be reminded of, to put on your calendar and come out and join us. Come out and be with us for our Palm Sunday on April the 2nd, and you will see that we'll have one traditional service at 11 a.m. and then our Easter celebration at 12 p.m. So bring out friends and family to that. And also, you'll see our Holy Week schedule, which includes our Easter celebration, Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday services, and our Easter services. And for more details, you can go to our website and, of course, call in to ask us any questions that you may have in the office. So as we prepare to go from this place and go out into another week that God has blessed us to be the light in, may we remember to be anchored in the firm foundation of Christ our Savior. Go in the sweet commune of the Holy Spirit, and until we meet again, my friends, the peace of Christ and shalom be with you.